Prayer Time. The longer version of the title is Prayer Time, the Intimate Acquaintance and Sweet Communion with God. We'll start with a little quote from reprint 5707. In prayer, we should make sure that we ask only for the things pleasing to Him. Christians who live nearer to God are the best qualified to offer acceptable prayer. Though we have ample scriptures regarding how to live near to God, those thoughts are not the focus here today. Prayer specifically is, and specifically we want to consider what things are acceptable with which to approach the heavenly throne of grace. Our little discussion this morning will be of three parts. First, survey, a not completely exhaustive survey of the New Testament scriptures dealing with prayer. And second, some thoughts that we personally set out to explore, including the communion of saints. And finally, third, a survey of examples our pastor suggests we are privileged to bring before God. Again, not thoroughly exhaustive. The apostles prayed day and night for the brethren. They prayed for a peaceable life and godliness, for a witness to all as to the good things of Jesus within their faith, to be delivered from the naysayers and have the fellowship of one another with joy. God hears our prayers. It is this power from on high that motivated the apostles to bring us to God in love. We have all these same privileges. It is why these texts are in the Holy Word. We gathered nine groupings of prayers, most from the New Testament. And that first one, an assurance that our prayers are heard in heaven. We have 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And Acts 10:4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." Of course, this was the messenger of the Lord to Constantine, or not Constantine. The Gentile, the first Gentile, Cornelius. And Luke 1:13, but the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Our second group of prayers are on the subject of prayer is come to honor the Lord in reverent prayers. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Luke 11, 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray." We were struck at what a kind and even reverent request, a humble request, this brother made. Matthew 6, 7 through 9. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Always hallowed, holy, highly revered, and honored, even Jesus did so too." Matthew 26, 36 through 39. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." So Jesus again set us an example. Matthew 26, 40 through 41. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So take care to wrestle our flesh to the reverent place we stand before when we come to God, God's own heart. Weary not, especially in this well-doing. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, setting his mind up for the Holy Communion with the Heavenly Father, and there prayed. Jude 20-22. Be ye therefore, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, that's the spirit of loyalty and devotion, reprint 1589. Keep yourselves in the love of God, keeping ourselves aware of God's love and improving on its impact in our own hearts, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, see how our reverent prayers can grow to become how we are, how changed we are in character between these prayer times. Our third grouping of prayer-related texts in the New Testament, always pray. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So note the ceaseless prayer is not a repeating of the same thing, but a continuous gratitude. And everything we encounter, give thanks. And Luke 18:1-8. And he spake unto them a parable to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. And what follows is the woman that kept coming to the judge for redress of a wrong, which was heard finally by the judge just because he was tired of her constancy. But the point is, God will listen and will fulfill the righteous request in the best time and way. The Lord wants us to be persistent, and our constancy indicates the depth of our desire. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. More on always praying, we have Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, in prayers, once again, that always praying. Revelation 8:4, this was in class recently. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So we are, by virtue of the high priest offering much incense, are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:15. Our fourth grouping is with confidence, bringing peace and praise. Shown in Acts 16:25-26. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Yes. Big things happen when our heart is set to the Lord the right way. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. That is, the gifts were meant to convey a blessing. In this case, the message of salvation would be understood to all in their own language. But another of the brethren must interpret to assure all attending would be blessed. There's also more on this subject in James, the 5th chapter. We won't go into that because of its length. Subject area of prayer is for others in the world we may pray. 1 Timothy 2:1-2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Luke 6:28, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Some scriptures show us that we can add fasting to our prayers. Acts 13:3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Acts 14:23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. In Mark 9:29, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And the lesson to the apostles was that their greatest power would result from their living very near to God, living lives of self-denial and prayer. Reprint 46:49. Our seventh grouping of prayer subject is praying for the brethren. And this is by far is the greatest number of texts in my search of the New Testament. James 5:16, part of that James text that we referred to earlier, but just this one. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that particular text has a lot of bold in it and on the slide here. And we did that because, particularly because it does go to the mantra of our whole reason we've had this study is, how should we pray? What words should we use when we pray? Romans 1:9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I made mention of you always in my prayers. And Philemon 4-6, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Also, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, or 9 through 11, excuse me, another excellent association of words about our brethren in our prayers. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. The apostle tells us that even more specifically, the details of his prayers, and this, he goes on further, this is where it happens, in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. I want you to be that too, brethren, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. In Colossians 1:3-4, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints. Colossians 1:9-12. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord and in unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, and strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Philippians 1:4. always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Acts 20, verses 35 through 38. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Other scriptures that we won't have time to go into about praying for our brethren are 1 Timothy 2:1, Ephesians 1:15 and 16, 2 Timothy 1:3, and Colossians 4:12. 1 Timothy 2:1, Ephesians 1:15 and 16, 2 Timothy 1:3, and Colossians 4:12. The eighth grouping is the brethren asked other brethren to pray for them. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Hebrews 13:18, pray for us that we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Romans 15:30 through 32. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. In Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And finally, group 9, prayer of gratitude, thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 and 7 from the Phillips translation. Don't worry over anything whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer, and the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch with thanksgiving. And so our second part of this talk today, this discussion, things of interest to my heart, the original notes I had scribbled down, actually I typed them down, we had five different subject areas that we're going to quickly cover. That last bullet point is actually part of number 5. And so let's begin. Talking with God. Is it talking to God? Well, perhaps it's listening to God. Let's take a look. Reprint 5440, titled His Loving Kindness, Oh How Great. The prophet David, quoting that from this article, in our text, spoke prophetically of the Church of Christ. These words could apply to none other than saints of God. None but those who walk and talk with God would esteem his favor more precious and desirable than their earthly life. This text, or this particular reprint, the golden text, is because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. That's Psalm 63:3. It's the same text that was in the October 31st manna. It was during my walk on the morning of October 31st that I lifted up my thoughts in inaudible prayer and asked if I might, that the Lord could open my eyes to see this prayer subject I had already been working on was in harmony with his will. Then this reprint, the exact extract just quoted above, was on this same day as this manna for the for the day, Psalm 63:3. And truly, loving kindness, his loving kindness is better than life, and my lips do long to praise thee more, dear Lord. And his favor is daily more precious than this earthly life. Reprint 388. To stand, to maintain our standing, to keep on the armor of God, we need to have much and close communion with God, not only in the way of talking to him, prayer, but also especially by listening to what he says to us through his word, primarily. Reprint 2800, titled Communing with the Lord, and it's regarding Luke 24:13-35. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? Yes, our hearts, Lord, burn while you talk and we listen more than when we talk even to him. And that was a quote from that article. In reprint 4983, this opportunity, prayer is not for us to instruct Jehovah, but how to arrange matters for the best, but to bring our hearts to realize him as the center of wisdom and power, that having unburdened our hearts, we may be prepared to listen for his answer and the advice through his word. And he whose knowledge of prayer is confined to the meager information he has imparted to God with much speaking, and who has never learned to listen for the answer to his prayer from the word of God, has as yet measurably failed to appreciate the object of prayer. And in this talking with God, it's through his promises. That's where the discussion happens. February 8th, manna. We should pray, Lord, increase our faith. And then acting in harmony with his prayer, we should cultivate faith in his own heart. A, by refreshing his memory continually with the divine promises, becoming very familiar with these in the Father's word. And B, he should seek more and more to remember that having made this covenant, his covenant with the Lord, these promises are his, and in his heart and with his lips, he should claim them as his before the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. He should claim them in his own thoughts and in his conferences on holy things with the brethren. Reprint 5378. We are praying in harmony with the divine promise, and although we are not hastening the kingdom by our prayers, we are entering into a blessing of rest through faith by continually bringing before our minds these promises of God and thus waiting upon the Lord for the fulfillment of his promise. Another area that we were considering was this prayer life. What does that mean, prayer life? Well, manna, August 2nd. Our judgment is that it is impossible for any Christian to maintain a proper, consistent walk in life and to build up such a character and faith structure as is represented by the apostle as composed of gold, silver, and precious stones without prayer. More than this, without regularity in prayer, we would almost be inclined to say without kneeling in prayer. Yes. Reprint 44:17. The life of an advanced Christian should be a life of prayer, in the sense that a desire to know the Lord's will should be continually before his mind. And in every stress of life, in every trial, in every victory, in every undertaking, the will of the Lord should be sought and accepted, and thanks should be given. Finally, reprint 14:61, an intimate communion with him in our daily life of prayer. A third thought that we wanted to investigate was, how about this living prayer or live prayer? Reprint 2773. We are to watch for everything that will strengthen us in faith and hope and loyalty and love. And while watching, we are to pray without ceasing. We are to pray together as the Lord's people. We are to pray in our homes, as families. We are to pray in secret and private. We are to have the spirit of prayer in all that we say and do. That is to say, our hearts should be going out continually to the Lord for guidance in all of life's affairs, that we may do with our might what our hands find to do, in a manner that will be acceptable to Him, and that we may be shielded by Him from temptation that would otherwise be beyond our endurance. A fourth area of exploration: what words can we use to set our hearts to God? We have two examples in the New Testament and two examples in the Old Testament. In the New, we have Philippians 4:8. Ani, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, that helps us to focus on the right path. And 1 Corinthians 13:4, really just the starting place of several scriptures to the 8th verse. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Putting those together, it helps us in our thoughts as we come to the Lord in prayer. As does Isaiah 26, verse 3. In the Old Testament, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And Micah 6:8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So why these texts? Because these are much more than what they may commonly convey. For instance, knowing how the mind can and is stayed on him, to gain this incredible insight that trust God always, always, always trust God. Will this not impact the words we choose to use in prayer and the searches we notice in our studies that hear him talking back to us? With Micah, focus on why love mercy, love loving kindness. I hear him say, I want you to see my loving kindness towards you, but then I want you to turn around and also love to show loving kindness to others, especially to the household of faith. Promises can and indeed must become echoed always throughout the halls of our heart. Perhaps no more telltale sign of trouble in communing or communicating with the Lord may be given than to have only a mere assumption of knowing the promises without taking time to make these vital. Like pictures at an exhibition, what would we have without the pictures? Only an empty hall, or the strings on a parachute. Good luck living the rest of your life that way. How often? Well, how often do we need what he has to give us? How about always? Or think of it this way, how often do we need our advocate? The Lord's model prayer is first regarding others, thy kingdom come, and never selfish. Three parts: about God, about others, and finally about you or me. And the fifth and final area that we wanted to explore in, scriptures is, can't we become the Lord's messenger to another by speaking or writing about just exactly what I needed, says another brother or sister? The answer to that is yes, but it is the Lord that's doing this, not our doing specifically. Our part is to be always giving off those sparks, but only the Lord knows who will be ignited and who will still be cold. Just keep faithfully following Jesus upon the narrow path. And the final part of this fifth is some letters. Some letters do become little witnesses of God working in us to help one another. There is no doubt that telephone calls, emails, other online chat or messaging can also be used. However, some of what we are about to share could not have come from emails, at least mostly not, texting, etc., since some of these paper letters were written before the relatively wide use of the computer. Nor would the details of a phone call be so lasting as these in my own mind. So these are all examples to my heart of brethren being used to deliver exactly what I needed, and in many cases, still need. The first letter is from a brother I wrote to in 1973 about what we might say are doctrinal issues. This brother typed a 3-page, single-spaced letter of explanation to all my questions. Within that letter, he quoted this promise, Isaiah 54, verse 13, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." This brother, Brother Ed Lorenz, wrote the account that related God's heritage to his church. She will be tossed, afflicted, and fully tested, but in all the way in directing his church, we have the promise, "And all thy children shall be taught of God." God used this brother to prove the promise is active. The second letter we would like to share is from another brother with whom I had some fellowship with back in 1997 and also stayed with us during convention. Though Brother Harry Wildblood's letter was only a single page, it was full of scriptural references, including these, Luke 24, 30 through 32, "And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Yes, our hearts have very often been burned since, in this sense, my heart especially. The third letter is an email from 2007 I had printed and saved. Apparently, I had asked some of the brethren, "What are the significant things that prove to us that the truth is the truth?" And this brother gave me some of the tangible prophesied events, such as the restoration of Israel, but endeavored to emphasize the intangible that have become the bright reality of our faith-based hope, that truth has become a part of us. And further down the letter, Brother Jerry Andrus wrote, "Faith has a science of its own." And Faithful Paul put it this way, 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And Brother Jerry writes on, "We know of no other way to listen to God than through faith." A fourth letter was written in the 1990s, not dated. It was acknowledging having been given a new weighty responsibility when the brethren first elected me as an elder. There are many wonderful and encouraging and sobering points Sister Dolores made in this letter. I will mention this one. "The Lord makes you certain definite promises, such as Psalm 25:9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." She went on to say, "So claim them and use them to guide and direct your every service, remembering that all his promises to you stand fast and sure. Continually seek the heavenly Lord, and you will find him more and more precious. And embedded further along in this long letter, these scriptures. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have served and suffered a while, Sister Dolores put served and suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Sister Dolores, her letters do bring tears to my eyes, for I feel that the Lord himself guided her hand. Finally, in the fifth letter we wanted to share from 1999, Sister Frances, a short letter, ends with this significant, precious promise. Recognize it? It's Psalm 63:3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. And I wondered if I should include these letters at all in this discourse, having had to take out a large portion of reprint quotes on prayer to do so. And then I came across Sister Frances's little letter. Recall what I shared earlier about prayer, or about praying if the prayer subject was the right subject. And then the very reprint that I had found, reprint 5440 referred to earlier, was on the same day discovered as the October 31st manna. Both were on Psalm 63:3. Now, should I include these letters, Lord? I think the Lord responded, I think very much so, with this verse, having been included by Sister Frances in her little letter, the last that I had read. So, dear brethren, when we think of praying, we think of things that are of the Lord. We think of brethren need our prayer. And how the brethren can receive prayers or the answer to their prayers through other of the brethren. Picture yourself reading these letters, perhaps over and over again, and ask yourself, did this brother or sister know how taking this time to write me to me would be years lasting and very helpful to my walk with the Lord? Isn't it just like the Lord to make himself heard to our benefit by using the very ones who also walk this Emmaus way with us? Even now, doesn't the heart burn with us as we see him in our fellow saints' letter? Now picture yourself writing that letter, or writing many letters in the time yet before us, days, months, years perhaps, but in reality in the many moments today. What could be more important than to be such a spiritually uplifting influence? God having used you to answer another brother or sister's prayer. And now our part three. What further suggestions may we consider as worthy of our approach to God? Our survey within the Harvest Message gave us many lessons to consider how and what to bring before the Father. Let's run through just a few. From reprint 570, we should pray for strength and wisdom to overcome the flesh and develop the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. Reprint 3841, pray without ceasing and, humbly. Remember that article? The first lesson was respecting persistency. Pray and faint not, nor grow disheartened and discouraged by the delay. Another lesson there is to have confidence in God, never doubting God's promise promises. Merely wait. Another lesson is to have patience. Another lesson is to be humble. Another lesson, this is a different article now, 3392, is to be neutral to the world's affairs of politics and wars. We were called out of this world. We were called out of this world. That should make a significant impact in what we do with the rest of our day. Reprint 797 had many wonderful things to come to the Heavenly Father with. Another lesson found there is learn to listen for the answer to prayer at the Word of God. And also, another lesson is to consult the words of Christ and there seek information to what His will would be before framing a petition to the Father in Christ's name. Another lesson is we may pray for wisdom to rightly divide the word of truth, that if possible, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God might thus shine. Another lesson is that our prayer time is to be considered a season of union and communion with the heart of heart with our Father, in which we may relieve our burdened and or perplexed hearts by their realizing divine sympathy, calling to mind divine promises, reviewing divine care, and expressing our confidence in God's many promises, thus bringing those promises afresh and closely to our hearts, as though God now audibly uttered them in our hearing. Reprint 2004, which is the manna for June 25th. Some additional lessons. Every trial of faith, patience is an occasion for prayer for the promised supper. Every failure to gain victory is an occasion for a prayer for forgiveness and as well for divine blessing, that the lesson of our own weakness may be deeply impressed so that the next similar trial we may promptly apply for and lay hold upon the grace to help promised. Every victory over self is an occasion for prayer, that we may not be high-minded and puffed up, but kept humble and watchful for the next attack of the great adversary. Every service for the truth becomes an occasion for a prayer of thanks, the privilege of serving the great King. September 16th, manna. If you have trials and temptations which you're able to overcome and which are working out in your character, patience, experience, brotherly kindness, sympathy and love, rejoice and offer the prayer of thanksgiving and acknowledgement of divine mercy and help. If your trials seem heavier than you can bear and likely to crush you, take the matter to the great burden bearer and ask his help in bearing whatever would do you good and release from all that would do you no good. Reprint 4803, the June 10th manna. Another lesson. The Lord's model prayer. In brief, our prayers to be acceptable to God must express confident faith, loving esteem and reverence, full sympathy with the divine plan and submission to the divine will, Christ-like dependence upon God, acknowledgement of sins and shortcomings and desire for forgiveness, with a forgiving disposition on our part toward others, and a humble craving for the divine guidance and protection. These may not always be expressed in words, but such must at least be the attitude of the soul. In reprint 3662, effectual fervent prayer. James 5:16, mentioned looking at James another time. Whenever we think of prayer and answers thereto, we should remember our Lord's words. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye may ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. There are conditions in this statement. Those who abide in Christ must have gotten into him by faith, repentance, and consecration. To abide in him means that the faith will abide, that the repentance for sin and opposition to it will abide, and the consecration to the Lord and his service will abide and be manifest. The other condition also is a weighty one. If my word abide in you, how evident it is that the Lord meant to associate himself and his word, the scriptures, in the minds, in the hearts, in the lives, in the prayers of all who are truly his. We must search the scriptures to know the will of the Lord, to know what he has promised. In conclusion, two quotes. Reprint 3805. In proportion as the Lord's people grow in grace, in knowledge, and in love, they will grow in appreciation of the great privilege of prayer. Not that prayer will take the place of the study of the divine word, but that realizing more and more from the word something of the lengths and breadths and heights and depths of divine mercy, the true children of God have comfort of heart and joy in going to the throne of grace to give thanks unto the Lord for all of his mercies, to commune with him respecting their trials and difficulties, and to assure him of their loving confidence in the gracious promises of his word, in the exceeding riches of his grace, in his wisdom, love, and power to fulfill toward them and in them all his gracious promises. And finally, reprint 2773. We have the spirit of prayer in all that we say and do. That is to say, our hearts should be going out continually, we might say moment by moment, to the Lord for guidance in all of life's affairs, that we may do with our might what our hands find to do in a manner that will be acceptable to him, and that we may be shielded by him from temptation that would otherwise be beyond our endurance, and that we may be ultimately delivered from the evil one and have a place in our Lord's kingdom. Brethren, may these brief words be of value to your new creature heart, and may the Lord overrule you for your blessing.